Today we have Pastor Wilson giving us his message called Real Extreme Makeovers.
A couple years ago, my house went through some remodeling. We bought this old house. The house was built in the 60s. And, when we move in a couple years, we found out that the siding of the house was not very good. And as a matter of fact, some of the siding, if you open up, you will see ants in there. So we got a contractor to come to replace all the sidings 1 year. And after replacing all the sidings, the house looks like a new house. As a matter of fact, it looks like the newest house on the block. But can I sell my house as a new house? I don't think so. Why? Because even though the outside looks new, but the inside, the infrastructure, everything inside is still an old house. Now, today's sermon title, The Real Extreme Makeovers, it reminds you the show, which I brought in the next one. And this is actually a show that my kids love to watch it on Sunday night. I like the show also. The only thing I don't like is they always yelling and on top of their lungs. So after watching it for like 15 minutes, I feel very tired, as if I were yelling with them together. But the show was so attractive because they go over a lot of applicants and then they pick some of those that they think is worthy for the project. And the team went over and completely demolished the old house and rebuild something that's much more better and suitable for that family. And because a lot of these actions were actually charities, so it touched the depth of our hearts, for those who are in need. And this is a real good show. But come to think of it, as a Christian, actually, each one of us, we need a real extreme makeover. Why did I say that? Because last week, Larry King interviewed someone who's very famous, a disgraced pastor, Ted Haggard. And I have two video clips for you to see. It's a clip from that interview. Listen to Ted Haggard, what he said about his struggle.
In the desert, personally, and going through counseling and working it out.
Did you not, though, preach against homosexuality?
Yeah, I did. And I
wasn't that hypocritical?
It was hypocritical. Absolutely it was. And the reason I did is because I had a belief system that I still have. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe in being born again, those things that are fundamental to Christianity. And I knew that the Bible was a set of ideals. The Bible says God hates divorce, but we know that lots of fine, wonderful people have to go through the horrible experiences of divorce. We know that the Bible says pray continually, and I'm not giving it as an excuse, but I knew that the Bible taught that sexuality was God, I felt like God's plan was for sexuality to be in a monogamous heterosexual marriage, and I wanted that for myself. I wanted to please God, but at the same time I had these other things going on, and I ended up violating my wife and family
and
everybody.
Since you didn't know going on, no one knows why they are.
Right.
So you didn't
knows.
Choose it. You didn't say, "Boy, I want to be have these feelings."
Right.
Didn't
exactly.
You question your beliefs?
I, especially in the last 2 years, I've gone through quite a struggle. Prior to the scandal, I just thought if I were more spiritual, I would be okay. So I would pray and fast. I'd read my Bible. I'd memorize more scripture. I'd do things like that, and it actually made me worse. The struggle was worse on the inside of me. And since then, my counselor has explained why. And so I'm really grateful to be where I am now. I should have gone to counseling years and years and years ago and worked it out.
Well, Mike Jones broke the story. He came...
Okay, that's the part I want to bring to your attention. I don't know how you judge Ted Haggard. We are tempted to say that, he brings disgrace to God's name, and he is such an embarrassment for Christian faith. And especially when you encounter seekers and unbelievers or someone who have a lot of questions about Christian faith. This is not helping, right? This is not helping. How do we face that? And I think that Ted Haggard's struggle, actually, you know, he struggled with some homosexual feelings. But at heart, the issue was not about homosexuality. At heart, the issue was about his view of a faith that would make change in his life. Remember what he said? He said, you know, I believe all these things, but I thought that if I were a little bit more spiritual, I would be okay. But actually, he said, that make me worse. That make me worse. And I said, you know, that for every one of us in this room, we have different struggle in our lives. We have different darkness in our hearts. May I say that we have a little Ted Haggard in our lives, each one of us. We do have that. The question is, how do we deal with those things? And in today, John's letter, he proposed three extreme makeovers for us. Three extreme makeovers for us to deal with these very common struggle in our lives. Whether that's lust or pride or whatever that is struggling in your heart, we do not need religious behavior. And as a matter of fact, we saw that from that clip. Religious behavior, thinking about I can do a little bit more, I can be a little bit more spiritual, can resolve my problem. It didn't work. That was not what God designed. What God designed is we have to have a fundamental change. Before we go into these three extreme makeovers, let's bow ahead and pray together. Father, this morning we come before you. The only assurance we have is through your Son Jesus Christ. When we watch that video clip, we can point finger, we can see as a piece of news, it seems to be so distant from us, but yet what Pastor Ted Haggard was struggling at heart may be some issue that you want us all to face and get to the bottom of it. So therefore, can we ask that you send forth your Holy Spirit at this moment to work in our hearts, to reveal in us if there's any hidden thing that is not pleasing in your eyes. We have the aspiration to live a life that is pleasing in your eyes, but oftentimes we use our own strength and our own effort. This morning, would you please show us the way? Show us the resource. Show us the power. Show us the strength. And most important of all, show us Christ. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The first extreme makeover that John proposed here is in chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. Here you see that he said, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Now verse 7, NIV say, "Dear friends, let us love one another." But if you know the original language, the word-by-word translation has some significance here. The word-by-word translation is not, "Dear friend, let us love one another." It's much more powerful. It said, "Those who are loved, let us love." Those who are loved, let us love. It sets the foundation. We love because we have been loved. We experience love ourselves. We've been loved by someone. Therefore, we can love. Just like in your heart, in your life, there's a cup. And the cup has to be filled with living water. If that's empty, you have nothing to share with other people. If you rely on your own love, you might have a little bit in that cup, but it's barely enough for yourself, and a lot of time it doesn't even enough for yourself. So therefore, you cannot love others. And when other people offend you, or, you know, unintentionally, then your reaction could be very strong, because you are in need. But here, John said, we love and one another because we are loved. Those who are loved, let us love. Why we are loved? Because God Himself is love. Now, a little bit earlier, last week, we were talking about God is also light, and John said that, you know, discernment, how to discern what is true. In the middle of his second full answer, God is love. Therefore, we will love each other. God is love, but God is also light. These two things, we cannot separate them. We separate them to discuss is for the sake that we can focus on one. But actually, in God's character, love and truth, they mingle together. It's coming in one package. And that's why when you read through this letter of John's epistle, 1 John, you will see that on the first part, he talks about God is light, but when he talks about God's light, he also talks about we have to love each other. And when he talks about we ought to love each other, he also talks about God is truth. God is light. God is the guiding principle. God is the focus. So these two things is perfectly mingled together in God. God is love and God is light. God is love and God is truth. And therefore, we love each other. It's because it's God's nature. And what he said is, basically, we are born of God, therefore we will love each other. We bear God's DNA. And it's become part of our nature. Even though that nature might be clouded by our own sinfulness, our incomplete lifestyle, our imperfection. But nevertheless, we bear that DNA. And it is God's work in our life to bring us to the full expression of that perfect love. One day, when we see Christ, we will be like Him. That is the promise. That is the promise. So therefore, the first real extreme makeover that John said we need is we have to recognize, we have to realize that we are a group of people that have been loved by God, and therefore we have the resource. We have the full cup in our lives to share with one another. To share with one another. So in other words, God's nature is love. And His nature transforms us gradually. Not only He is love, but He shows us how to love by giving us Jesus Christ as atonement for our sins. To replace us. To pay the price of sin. Therefore, we can be set free. To cancel our debt. And therefore, we can have the new freedom. We don't have to take care of our own need anymore. We don't have to respond to our own neediness. But we can be opening our eyes and see other people's need. And therefore, we can satisfy them. So that leads us to the second extreme makeover, which is in verses 11 to 18. 11 to 18, there's a little structure there. It's like a sandwich. Because you see that verses 11 and 12 and verses 17 and 18, they basically talking about similar thing. For example, 11 and 12, we said, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." And verses 17, 18, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like Him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, a complete love, drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So this little sandwich structure, in the beginning and the end, is talking about complete love, perfect love. The result of love would drive out fear. And in between, there is from verse 13 to 16, is marked by four groups of verbs. Verse 13, the verb bring to our attention is, we know that we live in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We know He lives in us because He has given us the Spirit. And verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be Savior of the world. We have seen and testified the Son that the Father sent and to be the Savior of the world. And verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And finally, verse 15, if anyone, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. So we know that God is in us by His giving us the Holy Spirit. And we've seen and testified. What did we see? What did we testify? Jesus Christ is God's Son. He's Son of God. And we acknowledge that. So the whole center is around Jesus Christ as Son of God. And God gave us the Spirit as the power live in us. So in other words, here the second extreme over is not only that we need to know that we are loved at first, but also God provide with us the resource from within. Extreme makeover number two is coming from the transformer, the Spirit. You know, I don't know whether you saw those power stations. You know, sometimes you're driving on a highway, maybe you see some power plant. They generate millions of megavolt, whatever, that electric current. And then it come with the grid and then come to different communities. And each power line that go to a community, it will go through a little plant, big boxes. It's called a transformer. It takes the tremendous power and turn it into 110 volt and come to your house. Your house cannot connect directly to the power plant. If you connect it directly to the power plant, everything in your house will blow up. And you have to go through a transformer. The Holy Spirit is like a transformer because God's power, God's strength, and God's glory is so tremendous that we cannot comprehend. But the Holy Spirit ministers God's strength, God's glory, God's love to each one of us according to our needs. According to our needs. So that's why we know that God is in us. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter came back from college for vacation. And in the middle of staying one day, she came up to me and said, "Dad, my computer has some problem." I turned the computer and it's not on. So I saw that, you know, I didn't know what to do. So I searched online and asked people a little bit and found out what happened. The hard drive died. The hard drive crashed. Oh, big problem. Because the hard drive is like the heart of the computer. And, you know, so we make appointment bringing her computer back to the store, try to fix it. But in the middle of making the appointment, then I learned a little bit more about how to fix a hard drive. Actually, it's not that hard. So I went out there to buy a new one and came home and followed the instruction I saw in YouTube. So I took out the hard drive and put the new one in and reloaded this, and everything works. Father helping the daughter solve the problem. Daughter was so happy. But you know what? My heart for her was not just solve her problem. My heart for her is like, "Andrea, can you watch me step by step? I want to teach you how to do that. If I can do that, I want you to do that as well. So that when you are on yourself, when you are by yourself, when similar things happen, you can do it by yourself. Because I cannot drive 5 hours to Boston to fix the hard drive." So not only I fix the hard drive for her, but also I want to empower her, enable her to solve the problem by herself. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the extreme makeover that the Holy Spirit is doing in us. He is the transformer from God, and He is actually ministering the power for us to deal with the needs that we have to face in life. Not only God sent forth His Son Jesus Christ to save us, but He also, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, to enable us, to give us the power. That is the extreme makeover, number two, that we need. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that, and we need to tap in the Holy Spirit's power to work in our lives, to continue to transform us. Because that transformation, on the one hand, will make us more like Christ, and on the other hand, will clean us and make us a fit vessel to serve God for His purpose, for His glory. That is the second extreme makeover that John proposed here. And John also, for the remaining of that passage, he proposed the third extreme makeover. Not only we have to recognize the fact that we are loved by God, and also we've been given the Holy Spirit as the transformer, as the empowerer in our lives, but also God called us to radically be obedient to Him. Verse 19 until verse 4 of chapter 5. We love because He first loved us. That John reminds us again that very basic foundation. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom has not seen. And He has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So he's talking about not only that we are loved and we've been given the Holy Spirit, but also he's talking about that in that love, it will produce a very natural result. If you love someone, you will love someone, whatever that person loves other things, you will like it. You will love it. So he's talking about if you love the Father, you will love His Son, Jesus Christ. And how do you express love? He said, obey His command. Obey His command. Now, I don't know, maybe you have experience with relationship. I still remember when I was dating my wife, Judy, you know, and whatever she loves, I will love. And I'm not a musical person. So she was a musician at that time, playing cello. So I carried a cello for her every day. You know, honestly speaking, I don't know the value of cello, and I look at it, yes, it's a beautiful instrument, but I can't even make good sound out of it. But I carry that for her, and I know that she treasured that instrument. So I use my life web around that cello. Why? I don't love the cello, but I love her. Therefore, I love the cello, because the cello is important to her. You see, that is what Apostle John is driving at here. If you love God, you will love whatever that God loves. So that is why that John continued to push that point and saying, if you hate your brothers, then you are not loving God. If you hate your brothers, you are not loving God. So in other words, our love to God needs to express in a very tangible, real way. It's not just words, but it will translate into actions. And how do you love God's Son? By obeying His command. By following Him. By committing yourself to Him. And that is the most important thing here. And this is coming from we experience God's love. Through Jesus Christ, He died for each one of us on the cross to redeem our lives. That is extreme makeover number three. We need to radically be obedient to God, to Jesus Christ. Now, when we get back to Ted Hagel, remember what he said? You know, he has this kind of feeling, you know, struggling with homosexual feelings. I know the issue is not about homosexuality, but, you know, we have a lot of these kind of talking and discussion and debate in the media about homosexuality. And Ted Hagel become an example for us because, you know, he was struggling with something in his heart by oppressing it, by suppressing it, by using other means to deal with it. He was not successful. And therefore, you know, in a way he was sweeping things under the rug. But the thing didn't go away. And it seeped through other places in his life and become such a disaster. And brought down a famous person. And brought in so much damage. You know, I don't want to judge him because I can recognize that in my own life there are darkness. The question is, how do we deal with that darkness? And Apostle John here pointing out the fact that dealing with darkness with religious behavior, you think you could be a little bit more spiritual by doing things, by making a little bit more effort doing things, it will not work. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you should not do, you should not serve, you should not know. But there's something more fundamental, which is you have to be in touch with God. You have to go back to that basic. What transforms our lives? And is that love give you the security enough that you are willing to face that darkness in your heart? He said it, had I dealt with it earlier, years ago, I should have seen the counselor. It's a way of dealing with that. You, for someone who is willing to see the counselor, you have to feel secure. You have to admit you have a struggle. You have to admit that you have a problem. And sadly speaking, a lot of time in church nowadays, we just whack people with the Bible, whack people with the doctrine. And then when this doctrine become a burden, come to us. In front of that perfect requirement, I cannot say anything. And therefore, everything is my fault. So I push it down. But I cannot get it out. I cannot get rid of it. So therefore, maybe I find some other way to compensate. Work harder. Do more things. Legalism come in. That is the same mistake as the Pharisees. But that darkness still occupies a part of our lives and is growing day by day, minute by minute. And it will one day will consume us. John here is saying that we have to go back to that basic. We have to go back and be in touch with God's love. The love that He has for us is to love who we are, and Jesus meet you and me at where we are. He did not say that, Wilson Chan, you have to come over here so that I can meet you. He came to me to pick me up when I was dirty, when I was filthy, when I was hurt. And it's that kind of love that I feel the security, that I will be able to open up, I will be able to confess my sin, and I will be able to deal with the darkness without thinking about a lot of people going to condemn me. So the homosexual debate is actually not about homosexuality. You know, they talk about like whether it's genetic or not. No, I don't care about that, because genetic or not, you know, the behind that is it biologically determined? Even though you carry a bad gene, doesn't mean that your behavior has to be shaped by that gene. And personally, I doubt that they would find that scientifically, because if homosexual is genetic, they would be extinct a long time ago. They cannot produce offspring. But even someday they come up with some twisted argument on that one. So what? So what? We are spiritual determined. We are not biological determined. That is the hard issue. That's the core issue. The core issue is we are sinners. And we have to admit that. But oftentimes, admitting we are sinners, such a hard time, such difficulty, that we cover it up, we hide, we wear a mask. And therefore, you know, parents among us, pay attention to that. Your kids will not respond well when you come with big theology. When we come with big doctrine, you should know. They know that. What they need to know is, would someone meet me where I am and pick me up? That is what Jesus did. That is the real extreme makeover we all need, because in our hearts there is a little Ted Hager somewhere, and we need Jesus. We cannot fight that war. We need Jesus' love to fight that war. There was a young man, his name was Sinner. His father gave him a new bright red, shiny, beautiful convertible, and he was so happy. So he named that convertible Salvation. So Mr. Sinner got this new convertible, Salvation, every day. He was so happy, he took picture inside, outside, you know, from different angle, post on his Facebook, share with his friends. I got a new bright red, new shiny convertible. I name it Salvation. My father gave it to me. And so one day, he said, I want to take this car on the road. So he continued to push the car from behind. Push it. He pushed it for 5 hours, sweating all over. The car went 5 miles away from home. And when he was pushing that new red convertible called Salvation, he was taking deep breath, and someone came by the road and said, "Hey, what are you doing, young man?" "Oh, I'm taking my car out for a ride." But couple hundred feet before, there's a hill going uphill. And this man said, "Could I be helpful to you?" He said, "Yes, sir, yes. I need more help to push the car." And then the guy came out of his car and take a look around. He said, "I know exactly what you need to do." So he stopped the young man and said, and take his hand, said, "Bring him over on the right side, open the door," said, "Go in there. But, I can't sit there. I have to push it up the hill. Trust me, sit there." Close the door. He walked to the other side, opened the door, the driver's side, sit in there. The key was in the ignition. He turned. The engine roared. And then he stepped on the glass, the gas. And the car soared 50 miles per hour. Oftentimes, we thought our salvation is work. Yes, salvation has work in there, has implication that we need to be holy, we need to be purified, we need to serve God, we need to glorify Him. But the essence of salvation is we are riding on God's power. We are riding on God's power. So don't push your salvation uphill. You have to ride on the power, and the power has been given to us, the Transformer. Let's bow our head and pray. Can I ask you to pray for yourself? Today is a Communion Sunday. The bread and the wine presented before us is a powerful symbol telling us we are beloved. Those who are loved love one another. Father, the Father gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, die on the cross to tear down all the self-defense, face issues, shame, sinfulness, so that we know that wherever I am, it doesn't matter. God loved me. And therefore, I can pick up my pieces by the power of the Holy Spirit to serve Him, to love the people that he loves and to glorify his name. So at this moment, if you're in need of extreme makeovers, would you pray for yourself to go back to Christ's love, to go back to the one who hung on the cross for your own sake? And to ask the Holy Spirit to transform you.